D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Gentlemen, I have some sad news.
Let's hear it.
I did not do smelling salts before the show.
Well, good.
What?
Good.
Dang it. Was it just a problem getting a supply? Did you attempt to get some or just kind of forget?
I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to look.
We're going to text Chris Mason here. We're going to get you hooked up.
You didn't Google it?
A friend of mine that was listening to the show, a nurse, said, tell him please do not do that. I would not recommend that he do that tomorrow.
I don't need smelling salts. You know why? You don't have to get hyped when you stay hyped.
It's like you don't have to get ready when you stay ready. This station is ready. This team is ready.
We're high on life.
We are ready.
We
don't need
ready.
Smelling salt.
But this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do to start the show. Now, the intro to our show has changed. But if you are a devoted listener of our program, during the midday show, my little tagline was, I am a fan of maximum chaos. So I thought I would just throw a live grenade into the proceedings to start the show and rile up the Callahaters. I saw a tweet today from Zach Cox, who reports on the New England Patriots and other Boston sports for the Boston Herald. Quote, Mike Vrabel is bleeding from his face after diving into a pile to try to prevent a fight. Can't say I've ever seen that before, end quote. Brian Callahan would never do that. Can you imagine Brian Callahan bleeding from his face?
You're starting something, Adam. You really are here. You're pushing the buttons of the Titans.
From ESPN.com, New England Patriots coach Mike Vrabel jumped into a pile of players at Wednesday's practice with the Washington Commanders and came out with a bloody cheek.
Wow.
Which caught the attention of players in the ensuing huddle.
Wow. That's a coach you will literally fight for and with.
Yes.
Even when he's trying to break up a fight.
So I'm looking forward to the first text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan would never do that. He's not man enough.
Callahan wouldn't do it. Me and Brian wouldn't do it, but Callahan will. When he turns his hat backwards.
Oh. Well, when he turns his hat backwards, he's Cali. He's not Brian Callahan.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's
just
Cali.
Cali would do it.
When he turns his hat backwards. By the way, I think Brian Schottenheimer was also criticized for wearing his visor backwards. So I guess Brian Callahan isn't the only coach to be criticized for wearing a hat backwards. Willie, you're not wearing your hat backwards. Derek, you're not wearing your hat backwards. David, are you wearing a hat today?
David is not wearing a hat today.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with wearing your hat backwards if that's a part of who you are. But, you know, when you just out of the blue start, you know, wearing it backwards and cocked to the side, I think we need to sit down and have a talk. Something may be going on.
Well, Jeff wants to know how many coaches would do that. How many coaches in the NFL, like Mike Vrabel, would jump into a scrum? Dan Campbell, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
John Harbaugh, absolutely.
Okay.
Obviously Vrabel. Let me see.
Something tells me that Mike McDaniel probably wouldn't jump into a scrum in practice.
He may. He get tossed out, but he may try to jump in. He may come in as the fight is dwindling down.
I could see Aaron Glenn absolutely doing it.
Jim Harbaugh's jumping in there.
Yeah, Jim's definitely. He may even start it.
D'Amico Ryans.
Is John Harbaugh capable of jumping
absolutely.
In there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He's got the fire.
Absolutely.
Here's a sneaky one. Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, but Nick,
I was just thinking
about Nick, he'd get in there, sneak a punch, and then leave as if he wasn't in there. I think he's that type of coach.
I'll tell you, the oldest guy that would do it, and he would absolutely do it, is Pete Carroll.
Oh, definitely.
He's getting in there.
Definitely.
I don't know how effective he would be. He'd get in there. do you remember when the Yankees and Mets, not the Yankees and the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, 2003, rivalry, LCS, where Don Zimmer, who was 100 years old and on the Yankees bench, he had managed the Red Sox. He was a great person in the middle of that rivalry. He'd been on both sides. Pedro Martinez brushed a guy back. The benches come out. Mm-hmm. you know, have you know, it's not an all-out brawl. It's the playoffs. You know, it's just kind of usually woofing each other and talking. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's doing anything. Don Zimmer runs at Pedro Martinez, who is pitching the game in the playoffs for the Red Sox. And he's 100 years old.
Does an impressive somersault, if I recall correctly.
Pedro Martinez just grabs him and tosses him aside, and he goes rolling on the field, and his hat goes flying. I can see Pete Carroll having a moment like that. Remember Jeff Van Gundy in the brawl between the Knicks
Alonzo
and the Heat?
Alonzo Mourning,
comb-over was flying everywhere. Adam, we've never considered having the comb-over, the Jeff Van Gundy comb-over. Should we consider that next summer?
No, don't even
David?
Try it.
Jeff Van Gundy comb over?
No, damn good.
Well, D-Base?
No. Uh-uh.
I have already riled up the Callahaters.
Okay.
The king of the Callahaters, Big Joe Dubin, texted us with a screenshot of Mike Vrabel holding, I think, a bag of ice to his cheek with the tweet I referenced earlier. Boys, this is a real head coach. You see Callahan doing this? Nope. Then Andrew on our text line says, Adam, why are you saying that sardonically? What a great word.
Ooh.
What a great word. Sardonically, of course, means mocking or cynical. LOL, Vrabel did something crazy, haha. His players respect him. Titans players don't respect Callahan since he let Simmons act like a child with impunity. Tell me where the joke is again. Andrew, I just want to say, excellent vocabulary. Sardonically?
Wow.
Impunity? Bravo.
Hold on. Our listeners are going in their bag with their words.
I'm telling you, we're now an after-school show, so we're going to contribute to better SAT
exactly,
scores
absolutely.
In the Middle Tennessee area.
I've always wanted to be an SAT tutor. I think I'd be pretty good at it. So if your child gets the word sardonic or impunity correct on the SAT, you can send the check, courtesy of Adam Vingan,
there you go,
to the station.
Why would you not call Adam to help mm-hmm. with the SAT? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Just not the math part. Just not the math part.
Yeah.
I'm not so good at math.
Well, we all ain't
even
good
with
at
my
everything.
Big-ass glasses.
Exactly. There we go.
And we're going to have a big-ass glasses moment later in the program. But let's start with Titans practice. The final Titans practice in Nashville for, what, a week and a half?
10
almost
days.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Because the Titans are en route to Tampa to practice with the Buccaneers tomorrow. They play the Buccaneers in Tampa in their preseason opener this weekend. Then they head to Atlanta for joint practices and a preseason game against the Falcons. Unfortunately, I was unable to get out to practice today, but both Willie and Derek were there. By all accounts, gentlemen, the offense performed quite well today. You are our eyes and ears. What did you see at practice?
I'm gonna go with the offensive line. I'm gonna let Willie talk about the other stuff that we saw. Because yes, the offense looked more fluent today. Yeah, they looked in sync, but I think a lot of it was because of the offensive line and what they were able to do. They gave Cam Ward time enough, and it wasn't like, oh, he would have been sacked. No, they did a 2 minute period, and I don't think there was a play where Cam Ward would have been sacked in their 2 minute period. So you got to commend the offensive line. It seems like they are becoming a cohesive group. You know, obviously without Cushenberry being out there, you got Levin who seems to be filling in pretty good. You don't hear anything about the offensive line. And that was the main talking point the last 2 years. This year it's been hush, and that's a good thing because when you tend to talk about the offensive line this early, that's not good. At least past history here with the Titans over the last couple of years. But the offensive line has been a seldom talked about other than, you know, the first day at camp, a seldom talked about group. Why? Because I think these guys are, you know, buckling down. These guys are becoming a unit. A lot of them are second year in the system. So that helps. I think these guys feel comfortable. You got guys in their normal spots. JC back to right, you know, and then you bring Levin in center because Cushenberry's not there. Then you bring in a true left tackle. So it seems like the offensive line is doing a good job. That's what I was impressed with the offense and Cam Ward and Willie will talk about that. But I know the offensive line, it starts with them and it ends with them. In the last 2 years, it has been bad, to say the least. So they're looking good right now, and hopefully that continues as they go and practice and play their first preseason game this weekend?
I thought, number one, I agree with you on the offensive line, and I thought it was an interesting quote. I should say I overheard. You know, guys come off the field. I'm just kind of walking from one scrum to another, and I heard Corey Levin say that he feels like, and I guess without saying it directly, his word was, we're playing like a unit and not playing like five independent contractors. I think the question was along the lines of, what's the difference under Bill Callahan this year as opposed to last year? And I thought that was a noteworthy thing to say, because they do have some new ingredients, right? Obviously, Cushenberry's out, and they've got the new right guard who's not even playing. So, and yet he's still, yeah. So he still feels like they're playing together. So the offensive line, we're not talking about every day because it's so much about the quarterback, but it's so interconnected, right? They need that offensive line to go from a big weakness to a strength. So all of that, that helped the offense look very, very much in sync. They looked way, way better. There was good energy. The offense, I thought, had good enthusiasm as well as the execution. They worked on the red zone today, and they worked on two-minute drill in the team stuff. And the offense had really good success in both. I thought Cam Ward, he showcased a little bit more of what I've been looking for, and that is flashing the kind of talent you're hoping to see when you walk out on the field and you look around and say, who's the first pick in the draft? What am I supposed to be seeing? I thought he had a little bit more of that today. There was times, D-Mace, I was mentioning to you, he led them to a touchdown drive on a two-minute drill where he just threaded the needle to Tyler Lockett on a ball that, if it's off a little bit, it's probably picked off and going the other way. But he made a really nice throw. But he also made a couple plays where he got outside the pocket. He threw on the run. He threw a frozen rope right on the money to the guy on the sideline going out of bounds. That's what I was hoping to see a little bit. He needed a day like that.
Yeah, they needed tempo and pace. And I'm sure that was one of the reasons why Brian Callahan went off at the beginning of the week, because there was not any tempo and pace in one of the periods with the offense. And when you get tempo and pace, it tends to work well for your unit. They were in 2 minutes. And it seems like Cam Ward, and you'll see this time to time with young quarterbacks, that if you put them in just as you're running your offense, just down after down, they tend to, it may take them a little bit to kind of get in the rhythm and going. But when you put them in 2 minute, where everything is just, you know, bang, 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 it seems like they get in a rhythm faster.
He looked comfortable that
way.
Doing that.
They become comfortable at what they're doing. And that was Cam Ward today. It seemed like he felt comfortable. He was decisive. He scanned the field. And guys got open for him. He made some tight throws in practice. And that's what you want to continue to see from Cam, is that he continues to see this game a lot faster than what he did the first day, and that he continues to work through his progressions the way he did. Even in the 707, and it wasn't the 707 to me, red zone, it was more so about putting the deep offense, seeing what you can do against a defense really. You ain't scoring against. Why? Because there's no true threat of a run game.
It's really six on seven.
Exactly.
Right?
It's really 6-on-7.
The quarterback's throwing the ball. Like, what?
Exactly. The linebackers are not afraid of the run. So typically when you have that type of period, you're not going to get a lot of completed passes. What you're doing is you're seeing if the quarterback can go through his reads and try to find that open space. I think they completed maybe two passes out of that drill, maybe two or three, the one Cam ran. But it wasn't necessarily about, to me, completing the passes. It was about him going through his progressions, you know, coming from one side to another. He did that several times where I think he hit Tajay for one, and I think he may have hit another running back or a tight end for another. That was because he scanned the field. It wasn't there with the first two, and he ended up going back to his third read. And that's what you want to see. That's the process you want to see from a young quarterback.
One texter wants to know if the Titans were throwing the sink at Cam Ward today.
I mean, in 2 minute, there were blitzes. You know, there were zones. They were trying to confuse him. They're running their two-minute defense. And it's not the two-minute defense that they sit back and let you throw the football. They're coming after you. And I think he did a good job. The offensive line, once again, they held up. The receivers made plays outside, and Cam did what he needed to do. So he looked good today. Hopefully this can sort of – they can take this into, you know, this week's sort of practice with Tampa and then the game this weekend.
You just touched on the next question I was going to ask you. Does momentum exist in training camp? Because I heard Jake Lyman talk about this with Connor Newt on Next Man Up earlier today because they were on the air when practice was wrapping up and they read the good reviews of the Titans offense at practice and they were talking about, hey, it's a good step forward heading to Tampa for practice. So momentum in training camp, Derek, does that exist?
Momentum to me is confidence in what you're doing. I think if you're confident in what you're doing, you're confident in the plays, you're going to innately, you're going to start some momentum and it's going to carry over to the next day and the next day. A lot of times when that momentum stops, it's because there may be some people that are unsure about what they're doing out there on the field. I'm unsure about, should I make that throw or should I have thrown that? That's when the momentum stops. But when everybody seems to be clicking on all cylinders, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, know where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, typically that allows your offense or defense, but in this case your offense, to gain momentum and take it to the next day. That's all you want to do. When you walk on that field, man, you want to make sure that at least the starters, let's just stick with the starters, that all 11 guys are on the same page. When we call a play, there's no, hey, what do I do? Or, man, no, it's everybody's running at that huddle and everybody understands the job that they have to do. That causes momentum to sort of go from play to play and then from practice to practice.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Willie's and Derek's thoughts on Titans practice. Any questions for them about what they saw at practice? Let us know at 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Brian Callahan addressed the plan for the preseason games in terms of how much Cam Ward's going to play, how much the starters are going to play. We'll discuss that coming up next at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar, award-winning gourmet pizzas, handcrafted beverages, and get swept up in the thrill of live sports at Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar, your go-to spot for good times. Boom Boss has locations in East Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro. So get half off a $30 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals.
What success looks like in the preseason when you're trying to look at it so much?
Yeah, it's hard because it's not real, you know. And what I mean by that is your starters may be out there against the other team's twos. You're not going to see their fastballs. They're not going to see their game plan. All of those things lead to a hard gauge. It's still a football game. It's not practice, but it's also not a real football game either when it comes to game plans and pressure packages and all that stuff. So what you're looking for is guys to execute the techniques and the system at its core. So it's really more about what we're doing and how we do it. That's what you look for, and you look for us executing that at a high level, regardless of, again, of who you're playing against or what's out there. You want that to look like you have a, you know, you're executing things well the way you want them executed. Again, the score is sort of irrelevant to me. It's more about watching guys play and seeing them play real football and see who shows up.
That was Brian Callahan before practice today, the Titans' final practice in Nashville for nearly 2 weeks as they head to Tampa to practice with the Bucks tomorrow. NFL Network is on in the studio, NFL Network, which will soon be part of ESPN, which we will discuss in a little bit. And they showed the statistics for the Titans' defense last season. A reminder, the Titans finished second in the NFL in yards allowed per game, but 30th in the NFL in points allowed per game. Here's another big-ass glasses moment for you. Bottom three scoring defense and top three total defense in the same season in NFL history. The 2024 Tennessee Titans, the 1960 Chicago Bears, the 1955 Pittsburgh Steelers, and the 1943 Steagles. Now, you may be asking yourself,
excuse me?
The Steagles, officially known as the Phil Pitt Combine, was the team created by the temporary merger of the Steelers and the Eagles during the 1943 season. The two franchises were compelled to field a single combined team because both had lost many players to military service during World War II.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So that is the company.
But they had the same problem as the 2024 Titans.
But I think it might be a little bit more, you might have a little bit more understanding for the Steagles in 1943 than the Tennessee
right.
Titans
they
in 2024.
Kind of had some reasoning. Hey,
yeah,
it didn't go
there
great,
may have been a worldwide conflict going on. Their mind wasn't on being a top three defense, perhaps. But I was just reminded
did the coach,
of that.
Did that help the coach rationalize what happened? Or like, get that guy out of here. He doesn't know anything about football.
Who's to say? But Brian Callahan this morning also addressed the plan for Cam Ward and the Titans starters during the team's three preseason games. Here is what Brian Callahan said this morning.
What's your plan with Cam in the first preseason?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to play. Our starters are going to play. We're going to play in all three preseason games. That's just like we did last year, similar process. The joint practices do change a little bit of how much. You know, you kind of gauge how physical the practice is and how much those guys might need. But they're going to play in every game, and we're gonna let Cam play. So he's going to be on the field playing football. Hard to say how much at the moment. We'll work through that as we get to the practice tomorrow. But I would imagine for sure a series and maybe two in the first game with the starters. So he'll play.
So that was Brian Callahan. The plan is for the Titans starters to play in all three preseason games at Tampa, at Atlanta, and at home against Minnesota. The amount will depend on practice and such, but Cam Ward will be out there in every game. We have one texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I remember about 2 years ago the Eagles starters played the whole preseason. Is that such a bad idea for the Titans since it's only two preseason games? Well, it's three, but I get the point. To get everyone in the feel of the season, or are injuries a big factor to that? So, Willie, you hear what Brian Callahan's plan is for Cam Ward and the Titans starters in the preseason. Do you like what his plan is, and how much, if it were up to you, Coach Willie, how much time would Cam Ward and the starters play in each preseason game?
I like the plan. I've always been one, I think, of letting the starters play a little bit. Even if you have a veteran team, I think it's good to go through, you know, at least a series. I don't like one series either. Unless you have an 8 or 10 play drive, then I can see one series. But I like at least two series if it's me. I think what I would say about Cam Ward specifically is you want to make sure he's in there with at least the offensive line, maybe all the starters, but at least as many of the starters as possible. And if it's not the starters, your best backups. Because what you don't want to have is a situation where it's live, he's in there, and you can't block because you don't have your offensive lineman in there. Now, the regular offensive line's had trouble blocking in the past, but at some point, Cam has just got to get reps. He's got to play. So I am for playing him, but I have seen some teams not play the rookie. I want to say this happened with C.J. Stroud his rookie year. They took him out, not because he wasn't doing great, but they just didn't feel like they could block for him.
Yeah, and it'd be the same way with the Tennessee Titans. If, you know, the offensive line isn't showing that they are protecting him, then they will pull their quarterback out, rightfully so. It's preseason. You don't want anything to happen to him. Typically, that first preseason game, when you're dealing with the young quarterback, it depends on how that first series go. You throw him out there for another. You just want to try to get him, and it may be some, you know, quick passes just so he can get that rhythm going. But typically what I've experienced is two series, and then they pull everybody. The last thing you want is Cam Ward to be on the field and his offensive linemen are not on the field, or his start left tackle isn't on the field. They got a backup, or a starting right tackle isn't on the field. No, when the starters are out there, the guys that you project to be starters, that's when Cam Ward needs to be out there. When they are not out there, Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, then he comes off. Now, if you want to add Io Manor and DK into the equation, you can, but you got to give him some reps while the first team unit is in. But the minute those guys start going out, it's typically after the second series, depending on how long the first one is, that's when you take a quarterback out. You don't play him, at least not the first game. You're not looking to play him a whole half.
By the way, you mentioned C.J. Stroud, Willie. His rookie season, he played 8 series over 3 games.
So that's a fair amount. Mm-hmm. It may not have been him that I was thinking of. Remember, there was several rookies we've been watching the last couple of years. But I think each team has a little bit of a different plan. But I am all for Cam Ward needs to play. And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. You know, I didn't like when that
Drago on Rocky.
He could get hurt in practice. He could.
But you want to minimize, you know, him. You don't want to expose him to unnecessary, you know, things if you don't have to.
That was very un-Coach Willie-like.
Yeah, that was. That was really like, where did that come from?
I think, though, that I'm curious if the trend mm-hmm. comes back. I think there was a sense the last couple years of, oh, man, we cannot play our starters. Do not play the starters. And first of all, you can still have injuries in practice. And second of all, if you come out of the gate and you're not sharp and you're not on the same page, and then you've got everybody saying, why didn't you play the starters in the preseason a little bit more? I just think it's a natural part. That would be, to me, like not playing your starting pitchers in the spring training baseball games because you're afraid they're going to hurt their arm. Like, there's a process that you have to go through. I realize it's a completely different sport, but I think it's still a natural way to prepare for the season.
So I'm looking at rookie quarterbacks from last year. Caleb Williams played 42 preseason snaps.
They were horrid. Did you watch them in preseason?
I did not.
Yeah, they were not good.
Jaden Daniels threw 15 passes in the preseason last year for the Washington Commanders. Drake May, in his first two preseason games, threw 14 passes, but went 13 of 20 for 126 yards and a touchdown in the preseason finale. So a varying amount there. I don't know how many snaps Jaden Daniels and Drake May played, but Caleb Williams played 42 snaps in the preseason.
Because and you can't control the number of plays, because if you go out and struggle and you have a couple 3-and-outs, you guy ran 6 plays and maybe he's 0-for-2 passing, you're like, I don't know if I want to put him out there again, because now you want to put the second team offensive line in. And so things can happen that deviate from your original plan. But I think to not play the guy at all, or make up your mind that you're not going to play him very much, is the wrong way of thinking, especially for a young guy. I think this is where you learn. This is where you can get some reps.
Wes in Clarksville, he doesn't like this idea. He says, quote, new quarterback, a new O-line. Why do they continuously not want to play starters more in the preseason? I think they should play a minimum of a half per game. One series is not enough. I'd play them until offense scores 2 touchdowns. If they can't do that, then play the whole game. They don't want to get him up to speed in the preseason, but they will throw him out week one to potentially fail?
See, this is where, you know, the whole practicing against another team before you play comes into play. You figure, you know, depending on how we looked in practice against this team, that may dictate how much, you know, the quarterback, let's just say the quarterback plays. If they felt that he got a lot of good looks and he handled them well, then they may not play him as long. But if they think he needs some extra work, then they're going to hold him out there, I think, as long as they feel comfortable, or the quarterback feel comfortable with what he's doing. Now, if he don't get it, they're not going to leave him out there long. The last thing you want to do is leave your young quarterback out there too long and he's not developing out there. You don't see any good football. That's going to break his spirit more than anything. So you pull him out and you regroup and get back in there the next game. But I do anticipate Cam Ward playing 2 series. I wouldn't be surprised if it's only 1, if it's a good one. See, if it's like 8-9 play drive, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't go another one. But if they go, you know, 3-and-out or 6 plays and then they're punting, or 7, then, you know, maybe they need to play a little bit more.
615-737-1025. How long would you like Cam Ward and the Titans starters to play in each preseason game. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for a big-ass glasses moment because Sean Payton shared his formula for evaluating quarterbacks. How does Cam Ward compare to other recent first-round quarterbacks using Sean Payton's formula? We'll discuss that coming up next. We'll take your reaction to Titans practice as well at 615-737-1025 later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan. The Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
I thought the most interesting thing stuff he said was about sacks. And he said to me, sacks is a quarterback stat. He's like, everyone goes and says it's the line's fault. It's, you know, and it's a way of scapegoating other people when the quarterback is at fault. He's like, sacks is a quarterback stat. He's like, Brady never had high sack stats. Peyton Manning never had high sack stats. And then his own guy, he's like, you couldn't get free.
Right.
And, you know, he said to me, he's like, what sacks are is for the quarterback, it's instincts, it's processing, it's ball out. It's not how fast you are, it's how efficiently you move. And so he had one of his analytics guys, I think the guy's named Tony Lazzaro, had one of his analytics guys go back and look at the last 30 years and said, can you find me a quarterback who had high sack numbers in college and then didn't in the pros? And he couldn't find anybody.
Wow.
Like correlates almost, he said it correlates very closely. From college to the pro.
Bad news for Caleb Williams fan.
Yeah. So I thought it was fascinating. And he said, you know, who are the top two? And we did the sack study. Who are the top two guys? Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix.
That was Albert Breer on the MMQB podcast talking about Denver Broncos coach Sean Payton and Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. Of course, the Titans open the season on the road at Denver in about a month. But it is time for our big-ass glasses segment of the day. And by the way, if any optical boutiques are listening, together at CromwellMedia.com if you want to sponsor big-ass glasses. Because this is when I get incredibly nerdy. So Seth Wickersham of ESPN is writing a book, or he wrote a book. It will be released next month. It's called American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback. And yesterday, Wickersham published an excerpt of this book at ESPN.com with the headline, How Bo Nix Aced Sean Payton's Quarterback Test. Now, gentlemen, if I recall correctly, when the Denver Broncos, drafted Bo Nix as high as they did, it led to a lot of head scratching. Do I recall this correctly?
I think he was not a no-brainer first rounder. If I remember correctly, not that I am
picking
a draft
that high,
guru.
I think some people were like, oh, okay.
So Sean Payton came up with a formula to evaluate quarterbacks from college to the pros. From Wickersham, quote, he looked at the rate of negative plays. It talks about Patrick Mahomes to start this story. So he looked at the rate of negative plays against Mahomes' total dropbacks, percentage of sacks, fumbles, interceptions, then added them together for the average. Like golf, a low score was best. So for the case of Patrick Mahomes, 1,349 attempts, 68 sacks, 14 fumbles, 29 interceptions. So 68 sacks, 5%, fumbles, 1%, interceptions, 2.1%, average, 8.1. So this is Sean Payton's formula to evaluate quarterbacks. Caleb Williams had an average of 17.5 because Caleb Williams had 32 fumbles. This must be his last season. It can't be. Would this have been his last season at USC? It doesn't specify. Drake May, his average, 10.5. Bo Nix, his average, 2.3. Apparently, Bo Nix never fumbled the ball in the sample that Sean Payton pulled. So here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to use this exercise on Cam Ward. So I went to Pro Football Focus and I pulled Cam Ward's numbers from his final three college seasons. So his two seasons at Washington State and his final season at Miami. I did not include Incarnate Word. So his final three seasons. Here's what I came up with. 1,441 attempts, 23 interceptions, 112 sacks, 27 fumbles. The 23 interceptions is 1.6% of the total attempts. The 112 sacks, 7.8% of the total attempts. And the 27 fumbles, 1.9% of the total attempts, for a total of 11.3. So according to Sean Payton's model, Cam Ward, over his final three college seasons, had an 11.3. Again, to compare, Drake May, 10.5. Caleb Williams, 17.5. Patrick Mahomes, 8.1. Bo Nix, 2.3. So Cam Ward, 11.3. Now, I did this exercise as well, only looking at Miami, 7.5.
So not bad, but not in the Bo Nix range, which was something that Sean Payton really valued heavily with his evaluation. Let me bounce this off of you, D-Mace. Sacks are a quarterback stat. Now, we watched a lot of sacks, not only last year, but the year before, and even going back to when Ryan Tannehill was quarterback. Ryan Tannehill got sacked a lot. He held the ball a lot. Last year, let's look at Will Levis. He was sacked 11.99, so 12% of the time he was sacked. That was second most in the league to Deshaun Watson, who seemed to be last in every single category in the seven games he started. So Will Levis, 12%, an extraordinarily high number. Mason Rudolph, who last I checked was playing in front of the same offensive line as Will Levis. True, they didn't run out five new guys when they changed quarterbacks. He was only sacked 4.6% of the time. It's not that Mason Rudolph was getting better blocks. He was just better at what Sean Payton is talking about. Sacks are a quarterback stat. So maybe we should give the offensive line a little bit of grace, because I think we fell into the trap that Sean Payton said to Albert Breer there, that everybody moans and groans when the quarterback is sacked, and they say, well, the offensive line isn't doing the job. He puts it on the quarterback, and he says, if you show me a quarterback who gets sacked a lot in college, I'll show you a quarterback who's going to get sacked a lot in the pros. And so I thought that was a really interesting perspective there.
I think it is. But the game has changed, and it's not just black and white. You know, when you throw these numbers out here, are you taking into account everything that's going on, offense that they're running, personnel that they have, down and distance? What time of the game are these sacks coming? Do they have to hold on to the ball a little bit longer because they're trying to make a play down the field? There are a lot of other variables within this that takes place. I get it. It can be a part of, you know, what the quarterback is thinking. I was told as a young player, especially in a Mike Heimerdinger offense, and Les Steckel, there's always an outlet. There's always an outlet built in. You just got to find it, quarterback, and you got to find it fast enough so you don't get sacked. Some quarterbacks end up finding it, you know, end up picking up the offense and knowing where all of their hots are, where all their men are, and they can pick it up very quickly, whether it's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, you know, guys like that, even Lamar Jackson. So, yes, it can be a quarterback stat, but also we got to look at what type of offense are they running, you know?
Right.
Is it 2 minutes left in the game and they're trying to hold on to the ball and make a play? There are a lot of other variables, I think.
Right. It does matter the title of it.
Because this sport has become such a pass-happy league, whether it's the NFL or college football, one guy may end up getting more sacks because he's passing more than the next guy.
But there isn't there an art to being able to skillfully throw the ball away or skillfully avoid sacks? I mean, I do think it's not 100% mm-hmm. true. I think it's an exaggeration for Peyton to say it's all on the quarterback.
Yeah, it's not all on the quarterback.
But there are quarterbacks that do know how to avoid that, it's on sacks.
If you want to say that, then it's really on the offensive coordinator or the head coach. Because if you're not putting me in the best play, right. sometimes I got to hold the ball too long.
Or you got to keep extra blockers.
Exactly,
in.
I mean, there's extra blockers.
There's a lot of variables that go into it, but I think that the difference between Levis and Rudolph mm-hmm. does tell you it's the same offense. It's the same offensive mm-hmm. line. One guy gets sacked 13 or 12% of the time. The other guy 4.5.
Well, because he held on to the ball too long.
But Rudolph didn't.
Yes,
and he's
exactly.
running the same offense. So I that's where we wonder. I wonder where Cam Ward will fit in all of this. If he can, how much better is he than Levis? Hopefully, he's better. Even the first year, right? You hope that he'll be better. Which does bring us to, I wonder what Will Levis look like at Kentucky.
And we will do that right after this. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Sean Payton's formula. Do you think it's a good way to evaluate a quarterback? Is sacks a quarterback stat, as Sean Payton believes? 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.